ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter number 2nd, and Text number 35. Daksha curses Lord Shiva. Aplutya avabratam yatra ganga yamunaya anvita virajena atmana sarve svam svam dhama yayau tataha aplutya vamratham yatra ganga yamunaya anvita virajenatmana sarve svam svam dhama yayustataha aplutya, taking a bath, avabratam, the bath which is taken after performing sacrifices, yatra, where, Ganga, the river Ganges, Yamunaya, by the river Yamuna, Anvita, mixed, Virajena, without infection, Atmana, by the mind, Sarve, all, Swam Swam, their respective, Dhamma, abode, Yayahu, went, Tataha, from there. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear Vidur, the carriers of bows and arrows, all the demigods who were performing the sacrifice took their bath at the confluence of the Ganges and Yamuna after completing the yajna performances. Such a bath is called avabhrata snana. After thus becoming purified in the heart, they departed for their respective abodes. After Lord Shiva and previously Daksha left the arena of sacrifice, the sacrifice was not stopped. The sages went on for many years in order to satisfy the Supreme Lord. The sacrifice was not destroyed for the want of Shiva and Daksha, and the sages went on their activities. In other words, it may be assumed that if one does not worship the demigods even up to Lord Shiva and Brahma, one can nevertheless satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, 20th verse, Kama istatir hata jnana prapadyantanya devataha. The persons who are impelled by the lust and desire to go to the demigods to derive some material benefits, Bhagavad Gita uses the very specific word nasti buddhi, meaning persons who have lost their sense of intelligence. Only such persons care for demigods and want to derive material benefits from them. Of course, this is not the mean. Does not mean that one should not show respects to demigods. But there is no need to worship them. One who is honest may be faithful to the government, but he does not need to bribe the government servants. Bribery is illegal. One does not bribe a government servant, but that does not mean that one does not show him respect. Similarly, one who engages in the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Lord does not need to worship any demigod. nor does he have any tendency to show disrespect to the demigods. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita 9, chapter 23rd verse, it is stated, Ye api anya devata bhaktya yajante sraddhanvita. The Lord says that anyone who worships the demigods is also worshipping him. But he is worshipping avidhi purvakam. Means without following the regulative principles. The regulative principle is to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Worship of demigods may indirectly be worship of the personality of Godhead, but it is not regulated. By worshipping the Supreme Lord, one automatically serves all the demigods because they are part and parcel of the whole. If one supplies water to the roots of a tree, all parts of the tree, such as the leaves and branches, are automatically satisfied. And if one supplies food to the stomach, all the limbs of the body, hands, legs, fingers, etc., are nourished. Thus, by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can satisfy all the demigods. But by worshipping all the demigods, one does not completely worship the Supreme Lord. Therefore, worship of the demigod is irregular and it is disrespectful to the scriptural injunctions. In this age of Kali, it is practically impossible to perform the Devayagya or sacrifice to the demigods. As such, in the age, Srimad Bhagavatam recommends the Sankirtan Yagya. Yagyaihi Sankirtanam Prahi Yajanti Sumedasa. This is given in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 5th chapter, 32nd verse. In this age of intelligent person completes the performance of all kinds of yagyas simply by chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Tasmin tushte jagat tushtah. When the Lord Vishnu is satisfied, all the demigods who are parts and parcel of the Supreme Lord are satisfied. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 4th canto, 2nd chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Daksha Curses Lord Shiva. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshulmilitanyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathan Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitanscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Sri Hari Priya Vancha Kalpadarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyamadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Apluvatya Matham Yatra Ganga Yamunanvita Virajenatmana Sarve Svam Svam Dhamam Yayustataha. My dear Vidur, the carrier of bows and arrows, all the demigods who were performing the sacrifice took their bath at the confluence of the Ganges and Yamuna after completing the yajna performance. Such a bath is called avabrata snana. After thus becoming purified in the heart, they departed for their respective abodes. So first question is, why do, when we perform the yajnas, a fire sacrifice, you have to take bath? And this bath is specifically called avabrata snanam. An act of sacrifice to please Lord Vishnu is the aim of yajna, right? And we perform. But in Satya Yuga, culmination of all the sacrifices which is offered to Lord Vishnu, then everybody gets their share because of sacrifice. All the demigods are getting their share. Only Lord Shiva was denied by Daksha. And neither Daksha cared for the yajna when he insulted Lord Shiva. So, such insults create inauspicious atmosphere. Even though for many, many years this sacrifice, the satra means 1,000 years, was continued. And after conclusion of yajna, the purpose of yajna was to satisfy Lord Vishnu. But they took their share. In yajna performances, all the demigods, they have share. Only Lord Shiva was not given. Therefore, it was an insult. They don't want to partake in the offense that has been created. Right? So therefore, they took bath in the Ganges. Say, as for example, after eating the prasadam, you know, a pujari must take bath. He should not use the same clothes to worship the Lord again in continuity. These demigods are very pakka, very precise in this behavior. Right? Yajna is supposed to disentangle them, but they know Daksha has insulted Lord Shiva. Therefore, let's continue the process, but observe the Vaishnava etiquette. When a Vaishnava is offended, the Lord will take care of himself. One has to come to the correct consciousness of being, an offender must get, pardon. And he must repent. That is the second thing. Well, if somebody is pardoning, but if he is not repenting, then there are chances to repeat. So one remains entangled in the material life. So avabratham, this kind of bath is necessary. When yajnas are not properly performed, then one must take bath in the holy river. Otherwise, even a pujari here, or everywhere, Prabhupada taught us to worship with awe and reverence, just like Lakshmi Narayan. So we keep our situation of internal makeup, mindset, not to offend the Lord. But after the worship is over, we are compulsory supposed to beg forgiveness. Om agyanad athva agyanad ashubham yan maya kritam kshantum arhasi tat sarvam dasya neva granamam. स्थिति सेवा गतिर यात्रा वच भूयात स्वरत्मना विष्णु मई त्वदीय मई चेष्टित beg forgiveness and my dear Lord, whatever the punishment you might be giving, I will do to resolve my offenses. So that is an internal promise. Being a servant of yours, the master is compassionate to pardon him if he commits mistake. So therefore, even though we commit knowingly or unknowingly mistakes or offenses, this etiquette is a Vaishnava etiquette and it must be followed in order to remain purified. We have only hope because the Lord Krishna is promising that his devotee will never perish. So I'm trying to be a devotee, be humble, but be conscious. So at end of every service, we beg the pardon. Pratigya tava govinda name bhakta pranashyati iti sansmritya sansmritya pranan samadhyaryam. Because you promised that your devotee will never perish. Therefore, I am trying to be devotee with offensive mentality. Please pardon me, so I may be rid of my offenses. So, actually, the purpose of yajna will not be fulfilled till Daksha is going to beg the pardon from Lord Shiva. Then the process after the atonement, you know, is beginning. How do you remove the atonement? By genuinely glorifying the transcendental qualities of the one who has offended. One who has been offended, he must be glorified. So without guile, it's out of enviousness we might, you know, speak up for that moment which is offensive. But unless and until the person's devotional service is glorified, you know, we are not totally rid of. So here they understood after the incident, the demigods understood that we have to continue. Because that is the only means. So fire sacrifice was continued for 1,000 years. And it's important that because the offense have not been resolved yet, let's better take a bath. So after sacrifices, when they took their share, they went on their own abode, you know, but they took their bath first. Otherwise, the presence of the bystanders, when an offensive act is going on, then even being silent witness becomes part of offense. If we do not do anything, ourselves. In Kali Yuga it is other way around. In India, if somebody is stealing something, the public beats him up to death. You know, they are bystanders. And on the other behalf, they say they watch the ghastly act of murder, but they would not help the victim. They would not rush him to the hospital. They will see him leave the body. They are so afraid that if we remove him, then we become part of it and the police will make a case against him. You know, the one who is helping. So, the very, very precarious nature of Kali Yuga is there. So yesterday we spoke about Bhakti Siddhanta. Vahare Kali Yuga Teri Balihari. Balihari means what? Glorification. Kali Yuga is glorified by unpresumable acts. How? Then, chor go chode, they release the culprit and sadhu ko bande to take a case against him. But then, to do something, they have to show the pathik ko lagaye phansi. Pathik means one who walks by standard. Because he is a witness. Chada do phansi par. They will hang him. So, it is totally, you know, the three modes of material nature, but out of that, mode of ignorance is so predominant that sometimes we wonder, oh, but who cares? Let's mind our business. The demigods who are, you know, trying to uphold the religion, they have to complete the religious function of satisfying the Vishnu. So the process of yajna was completed even after one satra, 1,000 years. Nonetheless, offense is not being forgotten by the Lord. And this is Satya Yuga, onset of the creation is going on. And there also this kind of unpredictable and unmatchable, you know, activities of offense is going on. In Kali Yuga we are so much protected that except for the Vaishnava aparad, all the aparadas are going to be mitigated by the power of the holy name. Sooner or later. But except the Vaishnava aparad, the holy name will not pardon. This is the direct blasphemy of Lord Shiva. You know, was going on. So, is there any comparable aparad or parallel aparad ever to be found? Ambarish Maharaj was offended later on, but that was not great. But nonetheless, Durvasa Muni was not spared. He had to learn hard way. The burning of Sudarshan Chakra was free. You know, he got it even then. So, in this particular verse, the importance of Avabrita Bath is there. And in Kali Yuga, nobody knows how to perform even yajna. There are no four people required. Brahma, Hota, Advaryu, and the Udgata. These four people. Udgata has a business to recite the mantras in specific meter without mistake, you know, in so much clarity. Brahma oversees the function, is the presiding deity. And Ritvija is the Hota. Swaha, Swaha, Swaha. So, when we perform, a single person performs the yajna, a pujari. So, are we not making a perfect effort to coincide with this kind of yajna that is described, one that is also for 1,000 years. In Pancharatika Vidhi, the goal is the same, to please the Lord Vishnu, right? We establish four kalashas of the four Vedas, or in other words, the presence of Udgata, Hota, Advaryu, and Brahma. We put them, sit them, invoke them, their presence. But presiding deity is the Kalasham, where Visvakshena is established instead of Lord Ganesh. The one who is all auspicious, that is an expansion of Lord Vishnu, as Visvakshena, and we established him. So, our aim is to offer all our so far committed sinful activities, and the spiritual master who is present, he is accepting. But those sinful activities will be also consumed in the fire of our commitment. If we have no intention, then we may keep on committing. But diksha kale shishya kare atma samarpan, so Krishna guru rupe, he delivers. Krishna is delivering guru rupe. So when all our sinful activities, by taking, say, regulated principles, we tell them to chant four regulative principles, right? They are principles of liberation from coming out from sinful activity. And when they are committing, means they are offering for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu, that I'm not dumping all my sinful activities on you through the Guru, but I'm committing that I will not commit again. I'm giving promise that I will not commit again. So, this is the process of Pancharatika Vidhi, which is direct, and it does not require anything else but to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in the offering, and it should be conveyed through the parampara system. It should be conveyed through parampara. So our yajna is parampara yajna. We invoke the entire parampara. So we invoke those who are purified and who will purify us. So in sequential name. So this is pretty important, that the purpose of Pancharatika Vidhi is parallel. And according to the age, we do not have to commit for 1,000 years sacrifice, because we don't live for that long. But nonetheless, in the cycle of Kali Yuga, which is the smallest cycle of our physical existence, we are given hardly few years to breathe. So the process is also powerfully connecting through the parampara to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, ultimately in perfect consciousness. So the demigods took our pratham bath because of make sure that consciousness is perfectly set on the lotus feet of the Lord. Yajna shishta sino santu munchate sarvakil vishahi bhunjate te tvakam papa ye pachatme karanat. So yajna shishta sino, they are supposed to take the portion of the sacrificial offerings. right? Because they subsist. It was offered to Krishna, it becomes prasad, and everybody should have their share. When Mahaprasad was being, you know, in question in early time in the temples, you know, because in the beginning, you know, when a new bhakta comes, he is offered a garland and plate of Mahaprasad immediately, right? And Mahaprasad was made sumptuously. Now, in many of temples, hardly one plate is offered, even though there may be many deities. When there was a question of Mahaprasad should be distributed, but then it should be sold also. Mahaprasad kanika matra. Kanika means just few grains is good enough. But that glory of Mahaprasad that is to be distributed to everyone, and everybody still anticipates some Mahaprasad. You know, there are virtually so many bypassing attempts in modern day times is there. Everybody has their own conception of Mahaprasad. So it is important that yajna sistasinas munchante sarvakilvishai. All the sinful activities will be nullified, munchante, liberated, will be liberated from all these sinful reactions. Even witness is getting the sinful reaction because his presence is there. And if they get little portion of Mahaprasad, the share is there. This is the subsistence of all the devatas. Therefore, they are told to do fire sacrifice. Brahma was the first one to perform fire sacrifice. Right? At that time, there was nothing before him except Virata Rupa, the universal form. So it is said, Brahma is asking Hiranyagarbha, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, that my dear Lord, tell me, I want to perform the fire sacrifice, but where are the ingredients? They are yet to come. We have nothing but the limbs of Virata Rupa. And he offered the limbs. Now, Virata Rupa is sum total of the both spiritual and material energies. The Brahman manifested. Otherwise, the Lord is there. But this is the material manifestation where the spiritual consciousness is also there now. So the functionality of the Virata Rupa will be formed. This is very important, where the devatas are coming in picture to perform functionality. So in the third canto, you also will have gone through about the creation aspect of Sarga and Visarga. 24 elements, means 23 plus 1, the soul, they have been now in the material. That is the first creation of the glance of Mahavishnu. But then permutation and combination of these 24 elements are making very, very differentiated creations. But that is done by Brahma. That is called Visarga. He combined these 24 elements and offered different kinds of species in different degrees. So, after all, they are all governed by three modes of material nature. So, but the soul is remaining conscious by performance of the sacrifice. Otherwise, even prior to the formation of Virata Rupa, it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam that when the eyes of Virata Rupa are being formed, Agni Dev, in the form of Surya and Chandra, took the position in the eyes for functionality of seeing. Right? So similarly, the nostrils were formed. Two Ashwini Kumaras took the position. But they were not manifested yet. But in subtle form, they appear. So in each and every living entity, all the functionality of our limbs and others, that is not voluntarily what the science is telling. It is being done by the presence of demigods in their expanded form. This is where it is said, in the embodiment of a cow, all the 33 crore devatas are situated. In our body also, all the functionality is done by these devatas. So, when we see, when gopis were criticizing Brahma's creation, they sarcastically addressed Brahma, "Brahma, what kind of creator are you? That you made our eyelids so imperfect that they keep on blinking and obstructing the view of our beloved Lord Shri Krishna. You are not perfect." So, functionality and fire sacrifice are very parallel. It is meant for satisfaction of Lord Vishnu. So all the functionality of our limbs are also supposed to be cooperating to perform the fire sacrifice. It was the means of Satya Yuga, but nonetheless, it is to be performed in Pancharatriki context because our dependence has to be verified and supported by the system of yajna. Yajnanam japa yogyasmi. Okay. We are performing japa yajna, chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, it is yajna, means sacrifice. What are we sacrificing? All our misdirected attention and utilization of our senses and bringing it back, that this is yajna, sacrifice. So all those diversified activities which were taking us eccentric, means outside of Krishna consciousness. Manorathena asati dhavato bahi. We have been too much, extending our attachments. We are now bringing it back in the form of japa yajna to concentrate on the pleasure of Lord Vishnu. That's why we are chanting. So, naturally, all the senses and their functions, if demigods who are the controlling factor of our sense perception and other things, or the functionality of the organs as a whole, these demigods will be automatically performing the sacrifice. Therefore, the Sankirtan Yajna is the topmost of any of this ritualistic and extended for 1,000 year, meticulously performed yajna of that time. So the important aspect is to understand their functionality is there. So demigods, if they were witness of the offense, but at the same time they were consciousness for the purpose of those. When Lord Shiva left, Daksha left, before him. But an offender got loose, and Lord Shiva, who was offended, he was very tolerant and peaceful. All right. So this is the incident, and naturally, Avabhrutam Bath is very important for being a witness, even though we continued the performance of pleasing Lord Vishnu and completing that yajna for 1,000 years. That time has no limit. It is becoming constricted. In spirituality, time becomes obscured by its... What are they called? Time becomes conspicuous by its absence. So relativity is equivalent for the purpose. So Sankirtan Yajna is thus glorified as the topmost, it may be easiest for make us a little bit, easy, comfortable. They say, oh, it's easy. But when we try to understand the purpose of this yajna, how come it be equivalent to this 1,000-year sacrifice? Right? So, this is the nature. We are supposed to partake of prasadam also, but at the same time, if you partake in the this kind of offensive behavior, and would not either capable to destroy. Nandi did the job, but he was very faithful, that's why. But when Bhrigu counteracted and gave counter curses, then it will take some time. So it requires a very prudent, timely preaching and subsequently Lord Shiva teaches because he's a Mahajan, and everybody has to understand that they get the reaction of their participation. Even silent witness have to be, dealt with. Now, this is pretty important. Prabhupada links up in this purport that is worship of demigods required? Is there any necessity? Kama istaitir hata jnana prapadyantyanya devata. Tam tam niyam maasthaya mayate vihitasvaya. Krishna facilitates for our desires to be fulfilled, but if we have some shortcomings or not perfect intelligence and we end up by hearsay or by our judgment or by allurement of the flowery language of the Vedas that if I worship this demigod, I will get this and this and that. And we take our own decision to worship the demigods. Then who is at fault? That recommendation is not an eternal aspect of our functionality. Then they try to justify Mahabharata it is said, then akashat patitam toyam, from the sky the water falls down. Yatha gacchati sagaram, the drops become little rivulets and then mix up in the streams, and streams get together and go to the river, and the river is taking ultimate to the sea. So akashat patitam toyam yatha gacchati sagaram sarvadevam namaskrityam keshavam prati gacchati. You are familiar with this argument? The worshipper of demigods, they say, it's said in Mahabharata. Then if you worship any demigod, it will go to Keshav. But they are mistaken. Keshavam prati gacchati. You know what is prati? Why it is called prati gacchati, not gacchati? Prati gacchati means indirect. If it is direct or equivalent, so you can see how the misunderstandings are expanded to the extent that you worship any demigod and they are all gods. Pantheism or Bahu Devavad is coming into effect. But that is what we call the effect of Maya, that they are misled. They are not understanding. If it is Gacchati, then we can understand that. But it is not written. It is called Prati Gacchati, towards. It means it's indirect. Isn't it? So Krishna says that I fix their intelligence in that way. He is facilitating. And their faith also is facilitated. So Srila Prabhupada is using that. You know, echapyanya devata yajante sradhanyanvinta te api mameva yajante avidipurvakam. So I fix their faith in those personalities, demigods. But actually, those worships are meant for me. And they worship through the demigods, means it is not vidhipurvakam, avidhipurvakam. It is avidhipurvakam, means it's indirect. It's just like, instead of putting food, you put the food in your hand. Will you be able to become happy if you keep the food only in the hand? Have you seen babies? They want to take everything in their hand. And unless and until they put in their mouth, now who teaches them to put in their mouth? I have not seen mothers will hold the hand and put in the mouth. Now they do themselves. They don't put in the nose. They don't put in the ear. They put right in the mouth. So when the natural consequences of events are to be seen, we have to take in that natural way. Because after all, everything is linked as a sacrifice or service to Lord Krishna. Krishna is supreme individual and others are individual. But he is the chief of all the individuals. And he alone is fulfilling the desires of everyone, every other individual. That is Kathopanishad's thing. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vidatati kaman. Vidatati kaman means He is affording them, facilitating them all the know-hows. But in the material effect, we forget him. He remains unseen, even though we believe we can't experience him, because the process has to go through so much purification of the sacrifice, purification through sacrifice. In Kali Yuga, purification is through the sacrifice of the holy name, Sankirtan Jagya, and not alone even, it is congregational chanting. That is what is said, Prabhupada said, that to offer something to the demigods, it means it's bribery to the government ministers. Instead of becoming faithful to the government, you bribe the minister. Means there are double whammy, what they call, double offenses. First of all, due to ignorance, you know, they think because the God remains obscure, it's a belief only, but these demigods are, even though unseen in Kali Yuga, but simply by pumping up faith in others. Why? Kama istesir hatagyana. Because their intelligence is completely now deprived, lost. So they don't have discriminating faculty at all. They want to bribe the demigods. It means bribery is an offense, and ignorance or their separate desire just to be master or lord, whatever they survey. It's a double whammy. Two offenses are there. And then the third offense continues or fructifies into, oh, everybody is God. You are also God. You don't know. I know. That's how the Mayavad spreads all over the world. And we are taught, Ekale Ishwar Krishna Arsabhi Bhratya Jahara Icha Vetavit Nachavendritya. So, it's wonderful activity, transcendental activities are so wonderful. But if we are directly connected with Krishna, then and then it will be accessible. If we are indirectly connected with Krishna, then there is no possibility. So, for the devotees only, this will be revealed Srila Prabhupada also talks about by worshipping the Supreme Lord, one automatically serves all the demigods because they are part and parcel of the whole. If one supplies water to the root of the tree, all the parts of the trees, such as the leaves and branches, are automatically satisfied. And if one supplies food to the stomach, all the limbs of the body, hands, legs, fingers, etc., are nourished. Thus, by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can satisfy all the demigods. But by worshipping all the demigods, one does not completely worship the Supreme Lord. Therefore, worship of the demigods is irregular and it is disrespectful to the scriptural injunction. there are many devotees beginning, they were coming from the worship of demigods, and because of the attachment, they want to keep them in their altars. But they don't know where to put whom and what not to. Even they will put Sai Baba and Jesus Christ together. You know? What can you say? So you have to clean up everything. And this kind of, you know, understanding that is given in Bhagavad Gita and proving supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes more simplified and more easy to perform and pay or repose our attention to. And chanting Hare Krishna will completely transform the life. But nonetheless, they have to come sooner or later, the old age tight knot in their heart of worshipping demigods. So, anybody has any question? Yes, Prabhu. That is not indirect worship.
Well, we recommend not to jump over and try to approach Krishna.
Oh, that is not the case. But when you see there is no difference between the Chaitya Guru and external Guru, we worship the Guru Tattva, which is originally Lord Krishna. So we worship only Tattvas. Not the personality. Therefore, personalities are not important. Only Vani is important. Vapu is just to encourage, but how long the Vapu is going to stay? Vani is more important. We worship the Vani. Is there any...
Regardless of who it comes from?
Huh? Come from what? What is coming? Huh? No, worship means, Prabhupada says, Vani is more important than Vapu. So we have to rely on the our perfection and progress through Vani. That's correct. Unless and until the spiritual master have complete faith in the words of his guru and Krishna, he will not be exposed to all secrets of the Vedas. Right? That will be Uttamadhikari level. Sarva gunai tatra samasati. So similarly, all the virtues of all the demigods will be residing in him. But acquisition of this virtue or the strengthening of the faith is allowed. So, therefore the Shastra is recommending that those who are liberated can understand the position of liberated person. Only those who are Uttamadhikari can recognize other Uttamadhikaris. Uttamadhikaris are not defined by the neophytes, those who have no faith in Guru's words even. So therefore, this is important aspect, that Madhyamadhikari takes the role. It is said that even though if Uttamadhikari is there, he will have to come down to the Madhyamadhikari level to preach others. And we have to make them follow. Srila Prabhupada, he was totally absorbed in service of his Guru and Krishna, and all the qualities have been manifested in him. Yet he came down along with the level of even Madhyamadhikari level, showed regulated principles and demonstrated how to chant, how that is there. But to recognize him as Uttamadhikari level, one has to develop and further. We do not jump by hearsay. So a spiritual master has to be seen as not developed fully to the Uttamadhikari level, but he is on the way. Therefore, he will be the lead. He is to be examined not by the bodily features or the personality cult, but rather he is to be examined by what he speaks. How he behaves, the behavior is also very important, because the our activities, our actions speak louder than the words. So one may be erudite, but at the same time, how is he developing his demeanor? Prabhupada exhibited those demeanor. So, but nonetheless, on a theoretical basis, we are supposed to learn Uttamadhikari, Madhyamadhikari, and Kanishthadhikari level. That will be there to study. But on a practical viewpoint, how are you going to examine Uttamadhikari unless you become yourself Uttamadhikari? You can't take for granted scriptural injunctions as your defense. It's an offense, to blame this, that. It's an offense. Verbal offense. Shastric offense. Here it is said that the worshipper of demigods are offending the Shastras. Srila Prabhupada is telling. They are disrespectful to the scriptural injunctions. Isn't it offense of Shastra? Those who are worshipper of demigods. And that too for material benefits. Therefore we say no to them, and they can't equate their worship, and they can't call it bhakti even. Bhakti is the relationship or the life connection between bhakta and Bhagavan and nobody else. So the worshipper of demigods will easily conclude that that demigod is Bhagavan. So it is called crown on the ignorance and make others fool. So this is very important. The Vedas direct us that you please only one by which everybody will be pleased. Yasmin tuste jagat tustam. And you know only one personality, the Supreme Personality of God. By knowing him, you will know everything. Kasmin bhagavo yasmin vigyatam sarvam evam vigyatam bhavanti. These are Vedic injunctions. And they want to find out without love and devotion through the pages of Shastra. And they can't get it. because they are poor fund of knowledge. Unless and until one turns his attention to bhakti, which means loving devotional service, one cannot get access to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is all coming from Srimad Bhagavatam, and the direction, if you see the devotional service explained by Kapil Dev to Devahuti, devotional service explained by Lord Krishna himself to Uddhava, we do not see any difference. You know, even the devotional service taught to Narada Muni was non different. Simply, it's an expansion, keeping the worship of the Absolute Truth, Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna alone. You know, and as a system to develop that, you have to go through the Vishnu Tattvas, not Jiva Tattvas or Shakti Tattvas. So our explanations through Srimad Bhagavatam is with the quote to establish the tattva, not different from the conclusion of the parampara. We have to get the support from them instead of, we establish on our own. Haridas Thakur, he was illiterate. But he was chanting the holy name 300,000 per day. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking him, to describe the Nama Paradas, but he goes on to explain the Seva Aparadhas too. He never did any other Seva other than chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. But that was enough to understand the Aparadhas committed in the temple. Seva Aparadhas, the congregational, is also committing offenses unknowingly. But at the same time, Pujari will be also led to, if he's a beginner, but he has to be meticulous, because the purpose is to treat the deity with awe and reverence. Radha Vallabh is here. Radha Vallabh is in the Goloka Bhavana is there. But we are not given direct Goloka Bhavana to worship. Worship as a Vaikuntha level with awe and reverence. Serve them. These are the only two bhavas applicable in Vaikuntha. But the other three, Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhurya, that will be available in Golok Vrindavan, nowhere else. So it's a learning process, but meanwhile, you know, he has to be very meticulous. And perfection is there if we follow the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam, cultivating the qualities, right? It is automatically corollary. When the practical becomes, you know, conducive to achieve the aim, you know, then how it is different process. It is not karmakanda. Our aim is to please Lord Krishna. So how come Pancharatriki Yajna is becoming karmakanda? So in this way we have to evaluate the process of Sankirtan Yajna, you know, over the worship of demigods. Yes.
We talked about demigod worship being a priority, but the demigods, they are very far in a higher position. They should not accept the priority. In fact, if the priority is not given, they get angry. So the whole system seems to be.
Who knows the demigods are accepting bribery or asking bribery?
Like Indra got offended when his Gatya was stopped.
But he was not bribed, he was puffed up. He was puffed up. They do not understand the wonderful activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything is a bewilderment for them. So they try within their jurisdiction and they know how to test him. Indra wants the share of sacrifice. That is the demigod's right. And everybody's right. The father works hard, tills, and brings some money. So it is distributed equally to everyone according to their capacity. Even the animals also collect food for the young ones. The sustenance of demigods to remain free from the reactions is to only eat prasadam or the offering that is left over in the fire sacrifice. But whatever fire sacrifice at home we are doing, we offer first to Krishna and then partake. What Krishna accepts remains unseen through our naked eyes. But tad bhaktim apahartam, I acknowledge and accept his bhakti, but when it comes to eating, asnami prayatatmanaha, I will eat. Prayatatmana, prayatatmana means what? That person is endeavoring to offer me with love and devotion. So, and Krishna accept love and devotion as much as you embed in the product. Krishna will accept that and will remain left over for you. Krishna is acknowledging bhakti but accepting love and devotion. And he eats that because Krishna's configuration is total love. So loving service he likes. The demigods may not need loving services. Who can love demigods after all? Is there anybody lover of demigods? No. Even you can't love much Mahavishnu, only awe and reverence. If you want to show your love, go to Golok Vrindavan only. So bribery, you can't bribe Krishna. Why Krishna needs your bribery? Because everything is his. You can't bribe Krishna. You can bribe demigods if you think. But they are clever. After all, they are material managers and they are giving. And because you are not satisfied, you are thinking that you can bribe and get it. But that act itself is not conducive to love. You know Krishna is going to take away anything. He does not require bribery. His mrityu sarva haras chaham. He will take away everything in due course of time. So, why he needs bribe? And even the demigods do not need bribe. But we are foolish. We think we can bribe, but it's a corrupt consciousness. Our devotion is voluntary. You can't force anybody to do that. While to obtain certain, material benefits, you are forced to do. Okay. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.